Hello and welcome back to another episode of Blush. I'm your host, Tiva, and we are doing another Am I the Asshole episode this week. So after the first one that I did was a massive success, and by that I mean literally no one gave a fuck. No, actually a lot of you guys said that you really, really loved the episode format. I decided to make it a monthly thing. For now, at least, we'll see. So the second Tuesday of every month will be an Am I the Asshole episode, and the last Tuesday of every month will be Q&A. So that way these episodes will kind of let us explore a lot of different topics in one episode rather than me picking a topic and then going on 65,000 tangents because ADHD, not to brag. Okay. I would like to issue a formal apology for my conduct on last week's episode. Namely, I'd like to apologize really for the past 2 weeks for going so fucking hard about the wedding that I had to go to. It honestly was a really lovely time. I could not have had more fun. Like, the bride, the chillest bride I've ever fucking met in my life. Like, so chill, so easygoing. Honestly, so easygoing that I actually think she may have been a little too easygoing. There were a few things where I was like, yo, if you want, like, you have a right to be mad about this. Like, I'm not saying you should be, but, like, you have a right to be. You know what I mean? No, she was, like, an absolute dream. It was so much fun. Love the bride's family. Love the groom's family. And can I just say something? I think that I'm an excellent wedding guest. Like, I think I am so much fun at weddings. Like, I I'm a good time gal. Like, I'll dance. Not only will I dance, but I will make your entire fucking family dance. I pull up the parents. I pull up the grandparents. Do you know how many fucking grandfathers I have grinded on? You're welcome. I mean, truly, just a gift to the wedding industry. Like, they should hire me as a wedding hype person. Like, I'm just fun at weddings. Like, I don't know what else to say. I'm a good time at weddings. So obviously, I think the best part of the wedding was my presence. No, I'm just kidding. No, it was really, really a good time. Now, was I beyond drained when I recorded that episode last week? Yes. But also keep in mind, it was before I left for the wedding. So yeah, I think that's that on that. I just wanted to kind of get it out of the way. That's really the only thing I apologize for. There were some other things I said last week that were questionable, but I think I meant them all. So that's not on that. I'm fucking exhausted again today because, and this is a fun thing to explore, I have not been sleeping well the past few nights, and there's one very specific reason why I haven't been sleeping well. It's because I've been eating a lot of food really late at night. And if you are someone who struggles with sleep, I think the most overlooked source of insomnia and sleep issues is the fact that we all eat way too fucking late. I can't tell you how many people I know who eat dinner at like 8 or 9 p.m. and then expect to go to bed and fall asleep. And they're like, I don't understand why I have sleep problems. And it's like, really? Do you really not understand why you have sleep problems? Maybe it's because your body is trying to digest that fucking feast that you decided to wolf down at 9:30 p.m. The fuck did you think was going to happen? Your body's going to be like, great, let's lull off into a restful somber now. I don't know what the fuck any of these words mean. But no, that's what happens when you eat too late. Another really, like, this one drives me wild. People who drink caffeine and nap and then complain about not being able to sleep. I'm like, are you even, like, mildly familiar with what the fuck is going on this planet? Like, is it literally your first day here? Just, like, walk me through how you're thinking. Because if you don't understand that you taking, like, a 3-hour nap in the middle of the day might disrupt your sleep, then I don't actually know how to talk to you. Or like, if you don't understand that the fact that you're drinking like your last cup of coffee at noon is going to disrupt your sleep. In fact, if you have sleep issues and you continue to drink coffee, I actually really fucking understand, because obviously you need the coffee because you're not sleeping at night. But just power through one day caffeine free and watch your whole life change. Okay. Anyway, so I've been eating a lot and like way too heavy late at night, and it's really been fucking up my sleep. I still fall asleep, but I wake up a lot more throughout the night. Because like my body's going through shit. Like I'm putting my body through shit that it shouldn't be going through. Wait, real quick shout out that has nothing to do with anything, and I have like no discount code or anything. But I just found out, you know that brand Quince, that's kind of like their whole thing is that they do kind of nicer, like non-fast fashion. Like they have a lot of like silks and wools and cashmeres and shit like that at really reasonable prices. It's one of those business models. Like remember when Warby Parker first started? And like those types of brands where they do no brick and mortar and they do direct to consumer and they're just cutting a lot of costs. Obviously, Warby Parker has brick and mortar stores now, but they didn't for a really, really long time. That's how their business model was founded. A lot of these, you know, those types of brands that cut costs in those ways and then can pass the savings on to the consumers. So Quince is one of those brands, but I just found out that they have fine jewelry. And so I ordered a bunch of shit. When I tell you the prices are insane and this shit is so fucking cute. I just got this like pave diamond hoop for like $120. Now it's a singular hoop, but still, like, who is she? So yeah, I'm just sparkling over here, just shiny, just what was it from How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days? Like, ladies, frost yourselves. I'm just frosty, a little frosting. But yeah, check it out. Like, I was blown away by the prices for the fine jewelry. I don't love their clothes. I did order this one sweater that I think will be very cute, but like some of the stuff, I'm like, I don't know, something about the cuts or the fits just seem a little off to me, but I'm sure you can find really cute stuff. But the jewelry, fuck me up. I mean, if anyone works at Quince and wants to set up some kind of partnership, ad situation, let a girl know, because I'd really fucking like that. Okay, anyway, I want to start this new segment on the show, and let me explain why I want to start it. So the other day, I was thinking about the fact that my boyfriend, we call him Ozzy on the show, he is not named Ozzy, but he is Australian. He uses the word stretches to mean things that aren't necessarily stretches. Like he'll say stretches for like all sorts of calisthenics. Like if he were to do like push-ups and crunches and like lunges, he'd be like, yeah, I was doing some stretches, which I don't know what kind of like mental disease that is, but whatever. Anyway, so then I was thinking about the word calisthenics and how we never really hear the word calisthenics anymore. Like it's like low-key 80s word, right? Like when was the last fucking time you heard anyone say calisthenics? By the way, calisthenics means, it means like strength training where you're using your own body weight rather than weights. So things like push-ups, crunches, etc. are calisthenics. And I was just thinking about what an amazing word it is and how if you don't know the word calisthenics, the only other way to say what you're trying to say is to have to explain it, right? You'd have to say like push-ups, crunches, or you'd have to say, you know, strength training, resistance training without weights where you're just using it. Like you'd have to say a lot of words instead of just one word. And I was thinking about how I would like to have a more elevated vocab and not in a douchey kind of way, like not in like a, you know, I just want to use confusing, unnecessarily fancy words for things that already have simpler words, right? Like I'm not trying to do, if you're a Friends watcher, do you remember when Monica and Chandler asked Joey to write a like letter of reference for the adoption agency for them and he wanted it to sound smarter, so he used a thesaurus on like every single word and it made literally no sense. Like that's not the type of shit I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is more like the calisthenics of the word. world, right? Like sometimes there's one specific word that is the precise word that you need. And if you don't know that word, then like you're going to have to use a lot of words. And if you know anything about writing and communication, you know that the first rule really is to say what you want to say in the most direct and concise and precise way humanly possible. So having a broader vocab would be really helpful for that. And I was like, okay, should I like sign up for word of the day? And then I was like, I don't need fucking more emails, like blah, blah, blah. And then I was like, wait, would other people like this? And then it brought me back to 2010. I just finished college, not to age myself, and I just moved to DC. I was in my first apartment by myself, and I was single, and I was trying to fucking mingle, and I was like obsessed with trying to hack dating, like hack likability, hack dating, hack weight loss, hack all of these things. Like I was constantly doing research on self-improvement, and half the time I'd be bored at work and be doing research on self-improvement. And when I wasn't at work, I was reading hundreds of self-help books. Like I could have low-key like bought a house if I had saved that money instead of spending it all on fucking self-help books, but whatever. I read all this shit. Like, do you guys remember The Rules? Like Rules Girls. That's actually really, really aging myself, because it's not so much in my age group. Like Gen Z, I can't imagine you would know what the fuck I'm talking about. Even for us millennials, like it's really before our time. Like I think it's really a Gen X, if not like fucking boomer type shit. But I remember when I was a little kid, I used to read these book series. There were a few book series that I read as a kid. One was Goosebumps, one was Babysitter's Club, and then one was like Silicon Valley High or some shit. There were these two blonde ass twins who went to some kind of high school or some shit in California, I want to say. I don't remember. Sweet Valley High. Is that it? Sweet Valley High? Something like that. I remember one time they went on a trip with a bunch of their friends to Hawaii and met these like surfer boys. Actually, I don't think they were on a trip. I think they were on like Habitat for Humanity or something. And then they like met these boys and were trying to hang out with the boys more, so they like looked up shortcuts for building the houses, and they were like completely defunct, and they like fucked everything up. I don't remember vividly, but I remember really enjoying that book. Anyway, I think it was in Sweet Valley High or whatever the fuck those books were called, where people would be like, are you a rules girl? And they'd be like, ooh, rules girl. It's like, ooh, no, I'm not a rules girl, or I am a rules girl. And I remember being like, what the fuck are rules girls? And so I looked it up, and it was actually this book, and it was like The Rules. And it's, that's where like don't have sex until the third date comes from, which by the way, for a book that's that fucking old, the third date is like not that long. And it's also like never say yes if you know he asks you out the day of, like you have to say you have plans and like blah blah. And of course, like I was so insecure about myself, hello anxious attachment, that I really thought that I had to subscribe to all these crazy rules to make it in dating. Anyway, I did read The Rules, and you know, I really took it with a grain of salt because it was so fucking old, but whatever. But I remember one of the many, 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 many self-help books that I read during this phase was this book that was actually pretty decent about like how to attract like great men. And really, the premise of the book was like, be a well-rounded and interesting person. And like when you're really, you know, secure in yourself and you have all this knowledge, etc., then like the right people will be attracted to you or whatever. I don't know if that was the premise of the book or not. But I remember really enjoying the book because I learned a lot of things. Like there were like certain things. It was like, these are common wines, you should know how to pronounce them. These are common dishes of various cuisines, you should know how to pronounce them. Like this is basic table manners, you should know these things. Anyway, where am I going with all this? Oh, okay. So I think at that time, I was kind of always looking up vocab words. And the reason that I was is because I wanted to sound smarter, because I wanted to like impress men, which is so funny because like, that's what men really want, right? Like, don't we always hear single straight men being like, you know, that vocab on that bitch. I mean, I just can't fucking resist. I'm just running a chub just thinking about her word selection. Like, it's so ridiculous in retrospect. And I actually put up a poll in my Instagram stories over the weekend, which, you know, is like a flawless research method. I mean, the sampling is truly to die for. But I took screenshots of the results because I found it really curious. So the first question I said asked was, are you impressed when you talk to someone who uses big words slash has good vocab? 47% of people said yes, 35% no, said no. In all of the polls, I left one for like just here for results or whatever, because like sometimes people just want to see the results and they can't see them unless they vote. So if I actually care about the results of the poll, I'll put something like that there. So I thought that was interesting. So like we have like a pretty strong majority of people saying yes. But then I broke it down by gender and sexual orientation. And obviously I wasn't able to cover everything, but I tried my best. So for women who are attracted to men, I asked, are you attracted when they use big words? 38% said yes, 44% said no. So we got more no's than yeses for this, which I actually found a little bit surprising. And then I asked, you know, women who are attracted to women, are you impressed when they use big words? And we got more yeses than we got no's. Although what really I learned from my poll is that 85% of people voting actually are not, don't fall into that category, are not women who are into women. So that's that on that. For men who are into women, I asked if they are attracted to women who use big words. And I got more no's than yeses for that too. Again, the overwhelming majority do not fall into that category, which I did not find shocking because I have like 5 male followers. And then men who were into men, we got more yeses than no's for that. But again, the vast majority of my followers don't fall into that camp. So it's interesting. When I asked the question overall, I got way more yeses. So like overall, are you impressed by people who use bigger words or like have a better vocab? Pretty much everyone said yes. But then when I broke it down by gender and sexual orientation, pretty much like the winner was no every time in the polls other than gay men. So, or like gay slash bi men, like men who are into men. So yeah, I did find that to be very, very interesting. And like I said, I don't really think like straight men are out here being like, oh yeah, I can't wait to fuck her because of her vocab. Like, I don't think you're going to attract people that way. But nevertheless, I thought maybe the listeners of this pod who were also on an ever-evolving quest to be the best versions of themselves would be interested in all of us expanding our vocab together. So we're going to do a new segment on the show every week. Hopefully I won't forget. I mean, I did start a new segment like last month where I do gratitude at the end of every episode, and I've forgotten like 12 times since then, which seems like the math wouldn't math, and it doesn't. But yeah, I'm going to try to remember to do it this time, and I'll try to remember to do it overall. Anyway, so our first word of the week is effete. And I heard this in Billions the other day, and I can't remember what it means. So I'm going to look it up and we're going to use it in a sentence together. And then I challenge you all to use the word in a sentence this week, because it is really through using it that it sticks and we remember it. Okay. It means affected and overly refined. Here, let's get more over here. Here are two ways that it's used. One, it's of a man, and it means behaving in a way that's traditionally associated with women and regarded as inappropriate for men. And the other is no longer capable of effective action. So the authority of an effete aristocracy began to dwindle. Okay, let's just open Merriam-Webster. Okay. Wow. Okay, a lot of different definitions here. Number one, no longer fertile. Number two, A, having lost character, vitality, or strength. The effete monarchies of feudal Europe, or macrophages that recycle used iron from effete red cells. Okay, so like no longer working, no longer being there. Marked by weakness or decadence. Soft or delicate, or as if from a pampered existence. Peddled, trendy tweeds to effete Easterners. Also characteristics of an effete person. Ugh, I hate when they like the dictionary defines words by using the word itself to define it. Like, cool, thanks. If I knew what the fucking effete person was, I probably didn't need to look this up, right? A good humored effete boy brought up by maiden aunts. Did you know effete derives from Latin effetus, meaning no longer fruitful? There we go. Okay, so that's the primary way that it has been used. But I think in Billions, they used it as kind of that like traits that are not becoming of a man. Okay, let's see some recent examples on the web. Wow, that's cool that Merriam-Webster does that. But with the advent of the Great Depression and World War II, his urbane effete mannequins fell out of favor. That's from June 7th of 2023. It was on NBC News, okay? As the effete mentor to Wayne in the film's first half, Neeson nicely toys with the audience without tipping his hand. Okay, effete. We have learned a word together. Hopefully. I don't know. We'll see how well this sticks. Maybe I'll pick a better word for next week. Okay, one last thing before I get into this week's Am I the Asshole stories, which are really, really good. And depending on time, I might bounce around a little. This is something I feel like I've talked about a lot, and it is the concept of doth protest too much, specifically with relationships. The people who you see who are acting the most in love usually are the, like, their relationship is falling apart the most. The people who are writing novels and Instagram captions to each other. The people who are like, oh, babe, I've never felt a love like this. Everyone should feel love like this, okay? This has been the week of fucking breakups, so I'm not going to talk about all of the breakups, but Lindsay and Carl from Summer House were absolute torture last season. Like, watching them almost nauseated me. The amount that they said babe to each other was honestly shocking, and like low-key like someone dared them to do this and it was part of some kind of drinking game or something. It was like, it was giving Hiva and the word okay? It was not cute. It was really disturbing. It honestly made the show kind of hard to watch. And they just would go on and on about how like everyone should get to experience dating their best friend because there is no love like this. And like the timeline of our relationship is so healthy. And they were so defensive about it. And honestly, if you're really defensive about your relationship or a person, deep down, you're probably really fucking questioning it. But also, like, this is an example of that, right? It's different from straight defensiveness, but if you're being really over the top and just constantly try to put on like you have the perfect relationship, something is awry. And sure enough, they're broken up now. Sure fucking enough, they're broken up now. And you know what? I'm waiting. I've been saying this ever since MGK and Megan Fox, I'm waiting for that shit to rupture. Now, they are kind of like super on the rocks, right? There was all that shit that went down a few months ago where she started like being like, writing lyrics about cheating. And then she got all angry that people inferred that he was cheating. And it's like, bitch, you started this whole thing. Like, are you okay? But like, there are a couple who, you know, probably isn't going to make it just based. I mean, I don't know the ins and outs of their relationship, but people who are actually in love don't need to project so hard like they're actually in love. And I was reminded of this recently. I have to speak about this very carefully, but I was at a social event where there was a couple there who I know is not doing well at all. Like, they're really, I believe, headed for Splitsville. Like, he basically has been having multiple affairs on his wife with his patients. He's a medical professional of sorts. I'm again, I'm trying to speak very carefully because it's like not my information to share. And he's been having affairs while she was pregnant, while she was postpartum. I mean, just really disgusting, disgusting behavior. So I'm at a social event with this couple. And the way, like, I actually, Ozzy pointed it out to me. He goes, wait, is that the guy who was fucking his patients while she was pregnant and postpartum? And I was like, yeah. He's like, literally, you would never know if you didn't know. Like, the way they're just like holding their kids and taking family photos, like they're this perfect waspy family, and like behind closed doors, he just lost his license for his job because he's been fucking his patients. And she is, I mean, just like an absolute mess because her husband has been fucking his patients. And like, if you just watch them, you'd be like, oh my God, they're the perfect couple. Like, look at them dancing together. Look at them taking photos together. Look at them. They're beautiful kids. Like, you would never fucking know. You would never fucking know. So if you're someone who's single and you're watching all these couples and you're like, why are all these people so happy together and I'm not? They're not that happy together. They are not that fucking happy together. And any couple who's really throwing their relationship in your face, 99% of the time, there are outliers. And those outliers, in my experience, are actually people who like are a little bit on the spectrum or just like have a very different way of behaving socially. Like, I have a friend who, when she was first dating her now partner, and really like for the full first year of their relationship, would not shut the fuck up about how obsessed she was with him. Like, literally everything she would say is like, I'm so happy. I'm so happy. I'm so happy. I'm so happy. And if it were anyone else, I'd be like, girl, are you actually happy? Or like, what the fuck is going on? But I think that she's like a little bit neurodivergent and just like, just has a different way of being socially. And so like, yeah, so that's, you know, that's different. But like, for everyone who's like kind of neurotypical, if they're going on and on and on about anything, like, you know, that expression, like, money talks, but wealth whispers, it's the same shit. Like, if you're actually genuinely really, really, really happy, you generally don't feel the need to go on and on and on about it. Okay, we're going to go right into am I the asshole moments. Okay, you know what? I'm going to pull them up on my phone because it's hard to read on the screen. Okay, number one. Am I the asshole for leaving my own wedding early? I mean, I don't know, probably, but let's see. I actually have a friend who left her own wedding early. They're now divorced. But the reason she left it early is because she like literally had an opiate problem. And someone like stepped on her foot on the dance floor, and the way that she threw like an absolute hissy fit, and the poor groom had to like circle the entire room of degenerate wedding guests and be like, does anyone have Percocet? And someone found Percocet and she took it and left her wedding, like, I mean, hours early. It was so, I was like, okay, I'm so uncomfortable. Okay, am I the asshole for leaving my own wedding early? I, 30 male, and my husband, 34 male, just got married a week ago. We were having a good wedding until the speeches happened. Now, I thought it was common sense to not do this, but during the best man speech, he decided to propose to his girlfriend. Speaking of people who don't know how to behave socially, she said yes, and all hell broke loose. I'm sorry, who the fuck does that? Okay, let's move on. From that point on, no one paid attention to me or my husband, nor paid attention to the event times. People started eating early. The speeches were cut short after he proposed. On top of that, he got the DJ to play him and his girlfriend their song, which incited a whole bunch of couples to do the same. For about 3 hours, it was just couples running to the DJ to play their song and hogging the dance floor. When me and my husband finally got a chance to dance, people were exhausted and didn't pay attention. They instead went to eat. I'm sorry. When me and my husband finally got a chance to dance, people were exhausted and didn't pay attention. That's so awful. After several hours of this, I told my husband I didn't really want to be here anymore, and he agreed. We ended up leaving. The only person we said bye to was our parents. Nobody even noticed we had left. So here's the problem. 3 days after the wedding, a cousin of mine asked me, when did I leave my wedding? As she never got to say goodbye. I told her we left early because nobody was paying attention nor cared enough to. She said okay and hung up. Now we've been getting calls from all our relatives telling us we're immature and need to lighten up, that we should be happy our wedding made people this romantic. So am I the asshole? I think everyone's the asshole in this scenario, including the person who wrote this in, but I think there's a lot of layers to this. Number one, like, if people really didn't even notice that you left, I don't really think they have a right to be upset about it. But does this make you sound insanely petty? Yes, it's your own fucking wedding. Like, you shouldn't have left. Like, you should not have left. Even, like, and I get it. You have a right to be upset. I mean, people are behaving like absolute animals. Like, I don't even know what the fuck to say. Proposing, taking over the DJ, like it's like your personal friend on an iPad. Like, I'm speechless. Like, none of these people know how to behave, clearly. But I wonder if part of what's happening here is the fact that, like, obviously this is a gay couple, and let's not forget, so they're roughly my age, right? For the majority of our lives, gay marriage was not legal in the vast majority of this country. I mean, we're Massachusetts is the first place to legalize gay marriage, right? When was that? I'm not going to look it up. It doesn't matter. But, like, I think the majority of our lives, gay marriage was illegal everywhere. And it's really very recent that it is legal everywhere. And obviously, we know that the Supreme Court is now eyeing on overturning that, but we're not going to, like, get too political here. But I do think that it's a bit different for gay couples celebrating their love, because for so long they've had to repress their love, right? Like, younger kids don't understand what it used to be like. I mean, when I first moved to the US, I was 11, I was entering the sixth grade. I was literally shocked when, like, I moved here and people would say, like, oh, that's so gay. And I was like, what do you mean? And they're like, oh, you know, it's just so gay. And I was like, is it two men sleeping together? Because if that's not what we're talking about, I literally don't know what you mean by that. But it was just, it was like a way of saying something was, like, lame or uncool or whatever. Like, that's how that word was used, which, like, can you even wrap your mind around that? How unbelievably fucked up it is. And I remember having a conversation about it with a family friend at, like, a family party, like a mehmoni in Persian. And she's like, you know, how are you adjusting to America? And I was like, it's okay. But, like, there's this really weird thing where, like, people say, like, that's so gay and I don't understand what it means. And she's like, oh, you know, it's not that deep. Don't even, like, read too much into it. And I was like, no, it's, like, unbelievably offensive. Like, it's, like, truly maybe the most offensive thing I've ever heard in my entire life. Like, what do you mean it's not that deep? It's, like, actually pretty fucking deep, you know? Also, in the sixth grade, I wore a Gap sweatshirt to school one day, and, like, this, like, really popular meme boy in class looked at me and said, gay as pointed, you know, Gap, and then kept pointing at me all day and saying, gay as pointed, gay as pointed, and he got the whole class to start doing it. And, yeah, it wasn't really the best day of my life, and I've never shopped at the Gap since. Anyway. And I'm not even gay. Like, imagine how deep that would cut if I was, you know? So, yeah, I do think there's that element of it that shouldn't be ignored. It's, like, really a bunch of fucking straight people making my fucking wedding about themselves when, like, every day you get to celebrate your straight love and, like, we have had to endure so much. So I think that's an element of it that we really shouldn't forget. And I do think it gives them a lot more credence. But overall, I think even when you are really, really upset about something, there's just a lot of power that comes from not having like an emotional reaction, instead just making the most of it. I think if they just stayed and just did their thing and maybe cared a little bit less about what these absolute monsters were doing at this event, they could have just made it their own. Whereas like now they're always gonna have this memory of the fact that they left their own wedding early, they paid all this money and didn't even get to properly celebrate. But honestly, I think like I think you need some new friends and family, because like what the fuck, like that, like I don't, like I literally don't know what to say. I'm low-key speechless. But yeah, I think everyone's kind of the asshole here. Okay. Will I be the asshole for canceling Christmas? I, 31 female, am tired of planning vacations for my ungrateful husband, 33 male, and his twin. Okay. My husband and I have been together for 7 years and married for 3 months. We both work high-stress jobs with high incomes and no children, and we are frugal and spend our money on savings and trips. In our relationship, I plan our retirement, keep track of finances, host family slash friends, arrange gifts, make appointments, and plan our vacations. We travel a lot. For his part, he does laundry and cooks and does the dishes more than me. He gets along well with everyone and is the more quote unquote easygoing one. Yeah, it's fucking easy to be easygoing when you're doing none of the work, but that's neither here nor there. On our trips, I've asked my husband to help me with the tasks ranging from helping me plan beforehand to finding an Uber. Usually he ignores me until it's too late and I have to make the decision, or he makes mistakes like getting an Uber to the wrong place or forgetting beach towels I asked him to bring. Mistakes aren't a big deal, but he places the blame on them up for them on me. The issue is not new to us. For our wedding, I did 99% of the planning and he promised in return that he would plan our honeymoon. Right before the wedding, he looked up a Costco package that was almost twice as expensive as we'd agreed to spend and that didn't have guaranteed spots. What I really wanted him to do was not find an all-inclusive, unaffordable trip that we didn't go on, but to do something that was tailored to us. My husband also has a twin brother that often comes along with us. Like my husband, his twin doesn't help plan, and he has never thanked me for planning trips for us. He behaves like coming on the trips is a gift to me. Outside of this, I've tried to be his friend, but I feel no reciprocity. I got him gifts for his birthday and holidays, text him and call him and include him. Okay, I'm not going to read that part. Right now, we're all on a flight back from Hawaii where I researched hotels and flights, put together a schedule, booked hikes and dinners, rented a car, etc. When I brought up the fact that they complained a lot and never said thank you, my brother-in-law said that he told me the sunset was nice and that is the same as a thank you. God, men are such idiots, honestly. When I told this to my husband and explained how upset I am with both of them for not helping me, not yelling, but definitely not in a calm way, he told me to fuck myself. My husband also said that if I cancel future trips, that I'm no longer invited to my in-laws' Thanksgiving, the one thing his mom plans. I've already planned and booked an elaborate 3-week Christmas trip to Italy for the three of us. They said they wanted to go while doing nothing, but I just feel exhausted. At this point, I'm considering canceling it entirely, canceling my own portion, or canceling one or both of their portions and going solo. Would I be the asshole if I took one of those paths? No, in fact, I think you should cancel the two of them coming and either go with your girlfriends or go by yourself. That's honest to God what I think you should do. Now, this is not an uncommon or unheard of thing, especially like I would imagine it's going to go down in time how often this happens. But, you know, there's all this stuff, and there are like more and more men who are really conscious and progressive and aware of it, of how much invisible labor falls on women. So how much women are constantly having to do things that like we don't ever get thanked for. Like if a guy picks up a kid from school, oh my God, dad of the year. Like, or even I'll talk to my mom about how much Ozzy does around the house. Ozzy does all the dishes. Ozzy does all the cleaning. But the reason I talk about it is because it's so rare. It's so unheard of. Like he never to his family is like, oh my God, Hiva does so much around the house, because that's just assumed, right? Although he really does do more than I do. But the reason he does more than I do is because of this type of shit, because I don't want to put up with this type of shit. And I want to make sure that he understands this now before we have kids. And another thing that men do is like weaponized incompetence. And I don't know if they do it consciously or subconsciously, but they'll do something so fucking bad so that you'll never ask them to do it again. And you know what my trick is with that? Never tell them that they're doing a bad job. If, you know, you ask them to do the dishes and they fuck up the dishes so bad, don't tell them they did a bad job. Keep asking them to do the dishes. So I don't know if they're doing it on purpose or not, but this is a very real thing. And honestly, like, it sounds like the relationship with the twin is a lot more loaded than that. But I guess what I want to get at, obviously, this was from Reddit. It's not a listener or anything. But for all of you listening, straight women, if you are single, pay attention early on in dating someone to how much they do to help you, how much they're planning things, how much, you know, once you kind of start doing sleepovers and doing things at home, are they picking up slack? Are they doing things or are they not doing things? Because you don't want to wait until you pop out a few kids to find out that this is not an equal partner. By then, I don't want to say it's too late because it's never too late, but it's a lot more messy and difficult. So I think one of the early things that you should be checking for and screening for is how much they're doing around. And also, like, it's hard to say just stop doing things, right? Because like then nothing will get done. But you really have to have a very serious talk and put up boundaries. And if I was this person, I would go on the vacation by myself. I would stop planning things for the two of them and just plan things for yourself. And you know, I don't even know how the twin is factoring in here. Like, I think you guys need better boundaries with the twin, but like have a real conversation with your husband and be like, I'm really tired. And like, this is not an equal partnership. And quite frankly, to me, this is cause for divorce. Like, I'm not even exaggerating. This is cause, like, it's something I'm so sensitive about. And I have friends who are literally my age who act like, you know, like who act like our parents' generation. And the thing is, like, it's not even these men's faults in a way. It's because that's all that they've seen growing up, right? Like they grew up in households where the mom did everything. So they just assume that the women do everything. They don't even think about it. It's not even a conscious thing. So I think it's so important to expose men to other situations. And especially like if you're listening and you have boys or if you have kids at all, it's so important to expose them to men who help out more and women who, you know, aren't just doing everything. Even, you know, I was having a conversation with a friend whose husband was cheating on her and they have kids together. And she's like, I don't want to break up our family. And I was like, honestly, I think you're going to be doing more harm to your family by staying, because what you're teaching your children is that it's okay to treat women this way. Anyway, that's my two cents on that. Let's move on to the next one. Am I the asshole for telling my boyfriend he's being sexist? My 32 female, so she's 32 female and the boyfriend is 34 female. My boyfriend recently said that an idea I had for storing my friend's mattress at our house is a quote unquote girl plan. I asked, what's a girl plan? He said that a girl plan is a plan based on emotion, not logic. Boy plans, on the other hand, are based in reason and logic. I told him that he was being sexist and he disagreed. Am I the asshole? No, you are not the asshole. You are objectively correct. However, if you want him to understand what you're saying, like if you want him to actually absorb the point that you're making, calling him names is not going to get him to do that. Instead, you really should explain why it's sexist. And even if it's kind of a harmless joke, it actually is like kind of problematic. But his reaction also indicates that he's kind of someone who is like unwilling to understand and learn. Like if Ozzy said that even as a joke and I was like, that's sexist, he'd be like, holy shit, you're right. That is sexist. I'm so sorry that I said that. So just based on his reaction, I don't know. I think you should break up with him. Honestly, I think you should break up with him. Okay, moving on to the next one. Am I the asshole for refusing to let my boyfriend move in with me over chores? I 26 female, have been in a relationship with a guy, 26 male, for 3 years now. Initially, it was a long distance relationship and lately the same city, but living separately. We've always dreamed about moving in together. The issue is he has never actively done chores in his life. When he lived with his parents, his stay-at-home mother did all of the cooking, dishwashing, and laundry. See, this is how the problems take off. The most he did was occasionally clean when asked to. Then he spent time in dorms and, well, he did his laundry when it piled up too high to ignore. I wouldn't call him lazy, just enabled. Through the years, I made it a point that he needed to learn to cook and clean after himself, that I won't be his maid. He said I was pestering him and making it sound like I wanted him as my servant. So I let up. Now we are starting to look for places and he joked how I will have to teach him to cook. I just went, excuse me. I made it clear that I won't be teaching him to do anything and won't be moving in with him until he learns to be an adult. He says it's not fair and I can easily teach him. That's what couples do. I disagree. He had 3 years, two of which were spent at his parents' home. Ample time. I told him I don't want to live with a kid I have to teach, so let me know when you're an adult. He's calling me an asshole for that. Am I the asshole? Okay, this person should really talk to the person who is planning all the trips for her husband and the twin. Now, do I think you're the asshole? Absolutely not. You're really right. Now, one thing where I think she's a little bit wrong, like you can teach people things in relationships, especially cooking. Like the cooking thing, I don't even think is that deep. Like not everyone likes to cook. I don't think it's that big. But I don't think you should move in with him until he learns how to take care of himself. Otherwise, you already saw a time capsule of what your future will be. You'll be out here planning all these trips for him and in his entire fucking family, and he will tell you to fuck off if you even raise an issue with that. So I think this is actually like she's being so aware of these red flags. And yeah, like hold your ground. Don't move in with him until he shows signs of adulthood. Now, I don't think there's anything wrong with you teaching him how to do things, but wait until he actually learns and does them before moving in with him. I think that's a great fucking idea. Wow, a lot of like feminism in this week's Am I the Assholes? Am I right or am I right? Okay. Am I the asshole for leaving menstrual pads in a visible place in the bathroom? Oh, God. Okay. My husband, 30, and his friend, 30, and I are currently on vacation sharing a rented apartment with just one bathroom. Yesterday, I got my period and bought some pads. I left them on the bathroom counter in a semi-sheer bag where they weren't even visible. However, my husband thought this was inappropriate and could make his friend uncomfortable knowing that someone in the apartment is bleeding. I argued that menstruation is a natural process and should not be considered gross or dirty. Women shouldn't be shamed or stigmatized because of it, as this has historically caused women to suffer. My husband won't respond, and I'm still wondering if I'm wrong for leaving the pads this way. No, you are not wrong. Wow, I like was so spot on when I said feminism is a thread in today's Am I the Asshole stories. That is insane. I think like a man who is not comfortable with menstruation literally repulses me. Like a guy who gets weird if you address your period. Like I think that's so fucking gross. The way that I tell Ozzy everything about my cycle, just today I go, oh my God, it looks like I can confirm that I ovulated a few days ago. And he's like, oh my God, I'm so happy for you. Amazing. One time we were in the shower together and I reached into my vagina. I don't know why, to be completely honest with you. It wasn't like a sexy thing. But like I got a little cervical mucus on my finger and I was showing it to him and I was like, look, I'm probably going to ovulate in a few days based on the texture of the cervical mucus right now. And he was like, wow, that's so interesting. Every time I bleed, I mean, the first day of my period, the way that I have to let like 14 different apps know that I'm bleeding now. And then I text all of my friends, my entire family, and I immediately announced to my boyfriend that I have my period. Like it's some kind of celebrate. Like I want someone to throw me a fucking party every month when I menstruate. No, but seriously, if a man cannot handle hearing about menstruation, he is not a man. He is a child and you should not date him because that's actually illegal. This is disgusting. We need to stop settling for these man children. Like this is enough women. Like the fact that there are women who are still letting this shit slide, men who are doing nothing around the house and they have to pick up all the slack, men who are cheating, men who can't give them orgasms, men who can't stand menstruation enough. Every time you put up with some of this bullshit, you are setting the entire gender back enough. Time's up on men who act like children. They can fucking die alone. We can weed them out of the human race. Enough is enough. Whew, okay, next one. Am I the asshole for being in my underwear around my boyfriend's brother? I, 20 female, have been with my boyfriend for almost 3 months. I just started staying in his apartment recently for overnights. He's my first real boyfriend. I live at home with my family still and we're very open. I walk around in a shirt and my underwear majority of the time, and it's not an all-girls household. I have a dad and two brothers aged 17 and 14. I also did it growing up and also have an older brother. If guests stop by unannounced growing up, so be it. They'd see us in our bedwear. It's just normal for me, and I guess I expected other people to do it. As you can probably imagine, I did this at my boyfriend's apartment when it was just the two of us, which he loved. Then 2 days ago, his brother stopped by and I came out of the shower in a t-shirt and cheeky underwear, but not too cheeky. It only exposed a little. When my boyfriend saw me, he immediately whispered to me to put on some pants, which I did. After his brother left, I was super pissed and asked if he... After his brother left, he was super pissed and asked if I was trying to seduce his brother or something. I told him I didn't mean anything by it, just that at home I walk around like this, and he said, well, not at his home and not when we have guests. He told me I looked like I was trying to strut it for his brother. I apologized, but he was super upset and went to sleep early, which isn't like our normal sleepovers since I stay over so rarely. It's been 3 days and he hasn't asked me to sleep over again. Am I the asshole? Do I think you're the asshole? No, I don't think you're an asshole. I do think like it's outside of most people's cultural norms. I get that for you and your family, that's completely normal. And like, maybe it should be normal for everyone, but like, obviously it's not really normal for everyone. And I think, you know, part of life is realizing that other people grew up differently than you. Like, I can't even tell you how many things I learned when I first went to college. Like, when I, like, it was actually bewildering to me because, like, college was the first time that I was really around other people a lot. Like, when I was in high school, my parents wouldn't, or like up until college, really, my parents wouldn't let me go on sleepovers. So I didn't really know how other people lived, like the types of TV shows they watch, like the fact that people drank tap water. I had no idea, because I think in Germany we didn't do that, and so then when we moved to the US we just didn't do that. Like, that was, I remember, kind of shocking to me when I went to college. Like, there was so much that I learned about how other people lived and behaved that I just didn't know. So yeah, I don't, like, you know, I think we need to be a little more accepting of other people's cultural norms. It does sound like this guy's a little bit insecure for like thinking that you want to seduce his brother just because, like, whatever, you were in your underwear, but you also were in your underwear. Like, are you aware of that? Like, it is like, I would find it really, really strange if like one of Ozzy's friends came over and I was just chilling in my literal underwear. Like, I think he would think that's kind of weird. But again, like, that's just the world that we live in. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, just like, think about it. Like, was there a part of you? Because I just know, I don't want to project my own shit onto you, but I know when I was 20, I really wanted to be like the cool hot girl that like everyone thought was like so girl next door and like so hot and stuff. And I wanted all of like my boyfriend's friends and family to think I was so hot. So I could see myself doing something like that and being like, I just grew up in a very open household, which is untrue. And just being like, it's so normal to me. But but like really my intention would have been not to like fuck the dude, but to get him to be like, damn, she's so cool and easygoing. She doesn't even have pants on. And like, look at her. She's so hot. So I could actually see myself doing that for that very intention. I'm not saying that this person is or is not, but I think it's always good to like really think about what our intentions are. But like, no, I don't think this is asshole-ish. I think it's outside of our social norms. And yeah, I mean, some norms need to be changed. I don't know if like wearing clothes is one of the norms that need to be changed. I don't know. Maybe. Who knows? Okay. Am I the asshole for saying my husband's friend is at fault for cheating on his girlfriend? I mean, on the surface, I'd say no, but who knows? You know what? I'm going to skip this one because I just think it's like really cut and dry. And there are there's so many more. Okay. I'm going to skip that one because there are some other ones I really want to talk about. Am I the asshole for calling my girlfriend a creep? This sounds messed up, but bear with me. I, 23 male, have been in a relationship with my girlfriend, 23 female, for over a year, and we were also friends before that from college. When we were in college, we both got into anime after watching some of the famous animes like Naruto, Bleach, and Death Note. We went deeper into animes, and after a couple of months, I dropped the entire anime genre because of over-sexualization of teenage girls and all that incest plots and many more disturbing things. Wow, what a, like, how refreshing to hear that a man dropped some kind of interest or hobby because of sexualization of young women. Love that for you. But compared to me, my girlfriend went far deeper into anime and started following it religiously. Like, she attends our local anime convention and stuff like that. Recently, my girlfriend started doing this weird thing where she tries to add Japanese words in our everyday conversation. At first, it was kind of cute, but then it turned cringy, and I even offered her to learn real Japanese language through my educational app, Access, which was given to me by my company where I work, but she obviously declined. Is that obvious? I don't know. Last night, my girlfriend was spending time at my place and we were just cuddling on the couch watching TV, and suddenly she called me Oni-chan, which means big brother. And I gave her a very disgusting look and told her that that was creepy because I do have one younger sister. It was just an instant reaction from my side. Least to say, girlfriend was not happy and she immediately booked a cab and left. I tried to salvage the situation, but to no avail. But now that I think about it, I think I just am allowed to have my opinions about certain things. So just asking for advice, should I apologize? Okay, so I just want to say I read through the comments on this and there was a lot of discussion on the word Oni-chan and whether it's used exclusively for brother, whether it's ever used romantically, things like that. But honestly, I think going deep into this one specific word and how it's used is kind of missing the mark. And I think there's a bigger thing at play here. And that is the whole anime obsession overall, especially because this guy was into it and then stopping into it. And I think there's something that happens when we like do something and then quit doing that thing. Whether we realize it or not, we have some judgment and uncomfortability towards people who still do it, because obviously we once did it and we decided it no longer aligns with our lives and our morals and our ethics, right? Like, people who stop drinking are going to have a hard time being around people who drink, and not just because it might tempt them to drink, but more so because they decided that this was something that was really harmful to their lives and they don't want to continue it. Now, drinking is like a little bit more nuanced because I know people who don't drink because they're like, I have a disease called alcoholism and I can't, but everyone else who can drink in moderation should. So that's a little bit different. But like, if you just stop drinking, not because like you're alcoholism, but because like you decided it's like wrong and terrible for you or something, you're generally not going to want to be around people who drink because like they just have different morals and values than you do. Same thing with drugs, same thing with, you know, lifestyle things like working out and eating healthy. Even like, you know, I know a lot of people when they go vegan, they have a hard time eating with non-vegans because they're like, these are my values and like our values no longer align. So that's a very real thing. And he has like a very real judgment call and like a value issue with anime. I don't know a whole lot about anime. And so seeing his girlfriend continue to embrace that life, like I can see how that actually really, really rubs him the wrong way. So if I were him, I'd focus a lot less on this one specific word that she used and more so on the broader issue of like, have they ever had a real conversation where he's like, hey, I know we both got into anime together. This is why I'm not into it anymore. And it, you know, kind of makes me question things that you are still really into it. Like, I don't really enjoy the exploitation and over-sexualization of young girls, and like I think you also shouldn't, or whatever. Also, one thing I wonder is like, I wonder if there's a bit of like a kink element here, like if she's developed a new kink. And that's a really interesting thing, like how do you handle it if someone develops a kink? Like, you get together with someone and you're sexually aligned when you first get together, but then like your sexual preferences change. That's a very sticky thing. So yeah, again, I wouldn't get too deep into the one thing and I'd look at the broader issue. Okay, I'm going to do one more because I think this one is really on the nose for us. Am I the asshole for feeling jealous of my boyfriend's past crushes / girlfriends? We've been dating for over 7 months now and recently we planned to get drunk at a hotel. I asked my boyfriend about his past crushes, which he revealed in his drunk state. He revealed that he's had a few crushes, but all were before he met me and that I shouldn't worry about them. He revealed stuff about his ex, whom he dated for 2 weeks out of desperation, but ghosted after finding out she wasn't the one. Okay. He revealed that he had kissed her when all this time he assured me that I was his first kiss. I was hurt by my boyfriend for lying about not having kissed anyone before me, which made me childishly jealous. My boyfriend then shared his deepest, darkest thoughts of it on his notes app, explaining that he had never shared these thoughts with anyone and that he is sharing them with me now. He gave me certain conditions to not get jealous and not to mention it again when he is sober. There, he shared feelings he felt during his heartbreaks with two crushes, one of whom he had already told me about dismissively one day. But there he wrote about her as if she meant everything to him. The second girl I had never heard of was also mentioned. He used her initials when mentioning her. I questioned if he had ever felt these intense emotions for me, as he has never talked to me like I meant the world to him like he did for those other girls. I eventually found out about the second crush. He won't reveal anything, blah, blah, blah. Okay, I'm not going to keep reading this because it's actually really hard to read. These thoughts were eating me out. Eating me out. I think she means eating me alive. So I asked him about it this evening on a call. He sounded sort of hurt and asked me why I even brought up his feelings again. He said he'd talk to me about it later. I have a feeling I've crossed a line by bringing up his feelings when he explicitly told me not to, but I didn't want to sit and let these thoughts consume me either. Okay. So obviously these people are very, very young based on the fact that like they've only maybe kissed before. They like had a whole planned getting drunk thing. I mean, frankly, it sounds like they're really way too young to be in hotel rooms, but that's neither here nor there. This girl's anxious attachment is showing, and this is actually a really good illustration of the fact that anxious attachment really stems from childhood. And I can't tell you how many girls I talk to who are like, oh, I'm just like this because I dated an asshole. And I'm like, no, you dated an asshole because you're like this. That's actually what's happening. This girl is like very severe anxious attachment. I mean, the jealousy, the questioning things, the overthinking, like it's not, and I mean, I think certain things she's going to grow out of, obviously, as she keeps dating. Like, it's unreasonable to want to date someone who's like never had a crush before, you know, who's like never kissed before. I do get how the lying triggered her. But I guess I wanted to read this one really, really to illustrate that these things start so early and they come from our childhood wounds. And really what's happening for her is she's so preoccupied with love and connection, and she's fully replaced like her, like the way that a toddler needs their parent, the way that a baby needs their parent. And like if their parent isn't within eyesight, they start crying and freaking out. That's the way that she feels about her boyfriend, and him having had feelings feelings for other girls in the past and having kissed a girl in the past is akin to the parent not being in the room. And it's actually sending her brain into like a, like it literally feels like you're dying. And anyone who has anxious attachment can relate to this. Like when you start to question whether this thing is real or not and whether their feelings are real or not, in the first few minutes, you might be fine. But then you start to spiral to a place where it's like nothing else matters. Like you become singularly focused on this. And it's because your brain, your attachment system turns on and your brain is receiving this threat as though it's a literal threat to your life. So yeah, that's why she's overthinking. That's why she can't think about anything else. And that's why she's questioning everything. I do think if someone confides something to you and asks that you never bring it up again, you probably shouldn't bring it up again. Then again, I think like if you have feelings that you just like are so heavy, like you should have a right to talk about those things. But again, the reason that she's having all these feelings has nothing to do with him and everything to do with her own childhood wounds. And even though she's still a fucking child, she's not quite that young of a child anymore. You know, the attachment trauma is there. And so that's just a reminder for you. Like if you think you have anxious attachment because of your asshole narcissist ex, A, your ex is probably not a narcissist. We're just misusing those words. B, even if he is an asshole, that's fine. He's not the one who gave you anxious attachment. You dated him. You stayed with him because you had anxious attachment. So do the inner work first. In fact, I think before having any sort of like deep and big conversation with anyone, you should always do the inner work first. And you know what's a really good resource for that? In the Blush Academy in the Attachment Styles course, there is a neural rewiring practice where you can go in a deep hypnotic state and essentially rehearse any sort of conversation that you want to have. And you might find through having that conversation in that deep hypnotic state, you'll be like, oh, I don't even need to have this conversation out loud anymore because I've worked through all this shit. Like if this girl had done that neural rewiring practice, she would have been like, fuck, I have nothing to worry about. Like he obviously loves me. Why else would he have opened up about all of these things to me? And I'm reading way too much into it. And this is my own baggage and my own shit. And I actually need to work through these feelings that I have that have literally nothing to do with him. And she wouldn't have blown up her whole relationship. And you can access these neural rewiring practices in the Blush Academy, not to brag. And since we're at the end of the episode, I'm going to do gratefuls real quick, but I just want to remind you that we do a giveaway every month on the Blush podcast where if you leave a review for the podcast at the end of the month, I pick a winner. I randomly select a winner and that winner gets a free 1 year membership to the Blush Academy. So all you have to do to enter the giveaway is just leave a review for the podcast. You can either screenshot the review and email it to me at theblushpod@gmail.com, or you can put your Instagram handle in the review. And at the end of the month, when I randomly select a winner, I'll reach out and give you the info to sign up for the Blush Academy. This week I am grateful for, and by the way, if it's your first time listening to the podcast, I try to end every episode with three things that I'm grateful for. The reason that I do this is because when you consistently list things that you're grateful for, and you shouldn't repeat them ever. So ideally you want to do this every night at the end of the night or really at any point throughout the day, but come up with three new things every single day. Don't repeat yourself ever, because it's the process of scanning through your day and finding the things that you're grateful for that actually strengthens the part of your brain that looks for the good things in life. So if you're just out here being like, I'm grateful for my dog, my family, and you know, shelter, then like you're not actually doing anything. But if you're sitting there and you're really scanning your day and you're being like, okay, what good things happened throughout the course of my day, and you're picking these three new things, you're training your brain just like a muscle to look for the good things in life. So I invite you, as I list my three things that I'm grateful for every week, to also list three new things that you are grateful for. Okay, I am grateful that I still have a few Santa Claus melons. I can't find them anywhere anymore. I think the season is over, but I have a few at home that I can still go through. I'm grateful on that note that I live in a city where so many grocery stores sell fresh aloe leaves, because I remember when I lived in DC, I couldn't find them anywhere and I'd have to go all the way out to the Asian grocer way out in the suburbs. My mom would take me to find an aloe leaf, whereas now there are like 10 stores within, you know, a 10 block radius of me that sell aloe leaves. So that's fucking awesome, because I've been eating the aloe gel. It's really good for guts. And I am grateful. Let me think. I was going to say for you guys, but I'm sure I've done that before. So I'm trying to pick something new and different. Of course, I can't think of anything right now. I don't know. Oh, okay. I'm grateful for the book that I'm reading right now. It's the sequel to The Housemaid. It's so good. I might argue that it's better than the first one, and it's just so captivating. And I find myself like really looking forward to bed every night. And even like when I woke up 16 times last night, I was just excited to have more opportunities to read. Okay, that's our episode for the week. Don't forget to rate, review, subscribe. It's analogous to going to a sit-down fancy restaurant and tipping your waiter. You would never not tip your waiter, so why would you ever go through this and not do the bare minimum after getting such premium content for free? No, seriously, it means so much. It helps the show so much. I know it takes a few seconds for you, and that might be mildly annoying, but I put hours and hours and hours into this every week, so it's really the least you could do. No, I'm just kidding. I would actually really appreciate it, though. And, you know, share this episode with someone who you think would get something from it. And don't forget that we are doing a Q&A episode the last Tuesday of the month, so start submitting your questions if you have them. Okay, yada, yada. Love you guys. Bye.